Meeting to order, which is the tax levy hearing for 2018. Okay, I'm going to ask you to report on this.
Okay. So as I provided you here, and there's copies there if you'd like as well, our 2017 total evaluation you see is the $276,599,242 was our assessed valuation in 17. In 2018, by the auditor's determination, our maximum allowable tax levy rate was .2906. We estimated at the end of last year that that would bring us in $797. We budgeted then for 2018, based on a 99% collection, we budgeted that we would bring in $795,759. Our year-to-date actual accrual revenue that we've received based on that, and that's through the first day of August, is $779,780. So we will probably still, we'll probably still bring in some. There's typically a little bit of real estate and personal property tax that comes in monthly as people pay back taxes and pay their actual 2018 tax as well. So we did pretty well there. What we do is we're sent what I provided you as the document from the Missouri State Auditor that we enter into that system the assessed valuations that we receive from Platte and Clay counties. You'll see back to this is the condensed form there. Our 2018 total assessed valuation, $290,374,892. So we give that information from the county back to the auditor, and then the auditor applies the hand call amendment and so forth to that, and they determine what our maximum maximum tax levy can be set at. So they provide us that number. For 2019, our maximum allowable tax levy rate remains unchanged at .2906. So if we apply that .2906 back to our total valuation and then divide that by 100, that gives us our 2019 estimated revenue of $843,829. That would be for the 100% collection. So our revenue should go up roughly $40,000 for next year. My proposal on this would be that you vote to keep the tax levy rate as it is now at .2906. Then the other portion of this is the debt service levy. The debt service levy, basically we go through that same process again. They look at our assessed valuation. They look at what our payment will be for the bonds that we still have. And they then figure with some reserve built into that and what the processing fees are and so forth, what our maximum that we can charge, or what the maximum we can set the debt service levy at. The maximum that we can set the debt service levy at is .2586. Now, if you remember from the two ballot issues that we had that pertain to bonds, both of them, it was in the ballot language that each of them would be 10 cents. So in keeping with the ballot language, then we would take a, we would need to take a voluntary reduction of 0.0568 to bring us back down to that 0.2000 debt service levy, which is the same as it was for last year going forward.
All right. Thank you very much. Then I will move that we keep the maximum allowable tax levy rate for 2019 unchanged at 0.2906.
Before you do, we need public comment right here. Sorry.
Yeah. This is where we would have public comment. Are there any questions or comments on that? Again, I'll move that we keep the 2019 maximum allowable tax levy rate at 0.2906, which is unchanged. So, all those in favor? Okay. All those opposed? I just have to do a roll call vote since it's taxes.
I would just be safe.
All right. Wayne?
Aye.
Brian? Bob?
Aye.
And Danny is an aye. All right, and then I will also move that the 2019 debt service levy remains at 0.2000.
Second.
Bob,
roll
call vote. Dwayne?
Aye.
Brian?
Aye.
And I am a yes. All right, so we will, I'll make another motion to adjourn the meeting of the tax levy hearing for 2018.
So moved.
And roll call vote, Bob?
Aye.
Dwayne?
Aye.
Brian?
Aye.
I am a yes. All right. All right, we will call to order the meeting for the regular board meeting. First thing up is pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, approval of the minutes from July 24th, regular meeting. Any questions or revisions to those minutes?
Move and wait accept.
We don't have to vote on these, but hearing no objections, we'll approve those minutes. Next up is the August 14th, 2018 special meeting. Are there any revisions or discussion on that? All right, hearing none, we will approve those minutes as well. Next up is the treasurer's report. Any questions on the treasurer's report? Objections, we will file that report for audit. President's report, really the only thing that I wanted to say to the public is that we had, we met with the state auditors on August 14th, that's what our special meeting was, and while everything that was discussed in that meeting has to remain confidential at this point, we are moving forward with the audit. We got all the preliminary results, and now we have to respond to all of those findings to them by September 7th. Yes. Friday the 7th, we have to have all of our responses into them, and then they are hoping to have a final report to us that will be a public reading at the end of September. So that's where we stand on the audit. Finally, finally coming to a close. Exciting. All right, next up is the chief's report.
All right, so for the month of June, we respond to a total of 113 incidents. That has us up to 780 for the year. We're still almost 9% ahead of last year. We had seven overlapping incidents in March. for a total of 52 overlapping instances for the year, or again, about 7%. Under public education, we participated in two sessions of the Summer Safety Academy that was put on by the Smithville Police Department and the Mid-Continent Public Library. Captain Traub took on that duty, and I've heard a lot of great things from it, from parents, folks with the from the police department. They've gotten some great feedback on it as well. So throughout the week-long academy, I think it was maybe 3 days each week, they students had interaction with the police department, put on a portion of it, we put on a portion of it, NRAD ambulance put on a portion of it, so forth, to get the kids some exposure and so forth to emergency services. And I think the program overall went really well. And like I said, Nick created what we contributed to it, and he did a great job on that. Under public relations, you can see that we had quite a few things going on in July, and one of which was a neighborhood party. We also participated in the funeral service for Captain Mark Skeens of the North Kansas City Fire Department, and the standby for 4th of July fireworks. We did have two structural fires in July. One, technically it's a garage fire, but it was a massive garage that like you park an RV and other stuff still in. So it was quite the garage, but the guys did a good job there. Really, there was some structural damage, but minimal loss to the contents, to include a new pickup and several tractors and so forth. So they did a great job there. The July 19th fire was on a deck, an accidental fire on the deck of a duplex, and thankfully our response time was quick. That's back when it was really hot and really dry. So there was some structural damage there, but there were no injuries. Inspections were busy. We do our follow-up inspections on the 4th of July at all the retail fireworks tents, and then we kind of culminated the end of July with our life safety inspection of the new Eagle Heights Elementary to get our final approval on it, and also the annual inspection at the Golden Living Center. Byron Watkins helped me with that. It's part of, he and Justin went to that inspector course, and they both have to perform, I think it's two inspections to be able to get that certification. So Justin assisted me with the Eagle Heights inspection, and Byron went on the Gold Living Center inspection. So in July, with the new firefighters we hired, you'll see a lot of review basic, kind of the basic stuff that we do throughout the year. Lots of drills, getting them up to speed and so forth, and oriented on our equipment. So altogether, 317.75 hours of training for the month. Under health and safety, the new gear, washer and dryer have been installed. The firefighters have been working diligently the last few days on getting all of their bunker gear washed and dried, and system seems to be working great. It makes a visible difference in gear. You definitely see how much crud and so forth is coming off of it. So that's great to see. Under maintenance, we haven't taken any action on the painting and so forth at Station 1. I don't know if you noticed coming in, but the roof replacement and repainting here has been finished. The front awning replacement, we need to do a punch list around the outside and make sure everything's the way we want. We haven't given them our final payment yet for that. So. We'll review those things, and I think they have all the touch-up done, but we're going to check it over. Station 3, there was a problem with the air conditioning not working. The ground source heating and cooling system apparently was low on fluid, but they said there wasn't a leak. So I don't know exactly how that happens, but excuse me, they did add some add some fluid to it. And it worked, worked good for several days, and now it's kind of doing the same thing. So we have a call into them to come and check that out. The solar array that's on that system as well, the solar panels, it's remotely monitored by the company that put it in, and they called and said, hey, there's parts of it that aren't working, parts of the array itself. So they came out, replaced a couple of fuses, and it's back in action. Under vehicles, it was an expensive couple of days. So the newest pumper, 1701, we put a new set of tires on it. They were just needed. We got about 18,000 miles out of those. Then I'm not for sure what the root cause of what happened is, but there was a part that broke in the air brake system, and we fixed it once. It lasted about 12 hours, and it did it again. So Precision, the manufacturer, is working with Spartan, the chassis maker. They're having parts overnighted to them. They didn't come in yesterday for them to come today, but they should be up tomorrow afternoon to fix this this brake issue. So in the process of switching trucks around and getting ready to test hose and so forth, the 2004 Precision pumper, the primer went out on it. And actually it failed in the on position, which is good. This is a primer for the pump. But they had to disconnect the wiring from it to get it to stop before it burned itself up. So when Precision comes to fix the air system on 1701, they're going to look at the primer issue on the 2004 pumper as well. The 2010 pumper, the everything else working, knock on wood. The AC is still out on it, just because of with other stuff going on, we haven't been able to work it in to get that charged and so forth. The system's repaired, it just hasn't been charged.
Is that the one we're using right now then?
Yes, yeah. So thankfully it cooled off.
Chief?
Yes, sir.
It seems to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that we're having an awful lot of trouble with the 1701 truck. I mean, almost every month we think it seems like something's gone wrong with it, and we're having to get it repaired.
There has been a few bugs here and there. You know, one issue with the pump. You know, we're internally not able to pinpoint exactly what happened, but at some point it was an operator issue, apparently. You know, it's just one of those things that happens. The other issue, you know, kind of thinking back to other problems that we've had with it, the cracks and so forth in the body, that was a big deal. You know, the builder chalked that up to the size of the apparatus, and with how big and how heavy it is, that they need some additional bracing put in there. They've been great and fixed those. You know, we were out the downtime, but that didn't cost us anything. This deal, you know, it almost looks like we ran over something that broke that off, except that what broke off is up above, it's up in the body above the drive shaft. So if they'd hit something that broke that off, it would have been in a world of hurt. I mean, it just, I don't know what caused it, you know?
Yeah.
There's no evidence of anything that they hit anything and knocked it off, but if they did, it'd have to be something big and massive that would have torn up the drive lane or the drivetrain at the same time. So when I sent the pictures to Precision, you know, they've been really good to work with and very apologetic, and you know, they don't like sending their people up here to fix it as well. But they were like, well, how did this happen? So I give them the whole version of events. I'm like, yeah, but it's clear up in there. How did that happen? I'm like, I don't know.
That's gotta be equipment almost.
Yeah.
Gotta be equipment.
Yeah.
And is it, like I told you earlier, I'm not really familiar with fire trucks and everything. Is 18,000 miles a normal amount before you change your tires?
Yeah, because of weight, you know, weight's the big thing. And, I mean, that's an expensive set of tires to buy, you know.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah, but, you know, especially for the size of the vehicle and, you know, they're not... you know, a semi-tractor trailer going to run a lot of long, you know, long stretches and so forth, rolling straight ahead, you know, where we maneuver a lot more. We've also done a lot of driver training in that truck. You know, it does just wear. So yeah, 18,000 miles, and part of that's the brand of tire, because we've gone through, say, cheaper tires in less amount of time. But yeah, to get that many miles, they're being taken care of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. A few other repairs, minor things ongoing, a couple of leaks in brush trucks that we need to get repaired. Under the boats, the new trailer that we purchased earlier in the year, we did have the mounting rails and so forth fabricated for it. The boat two, the inflatable boat, has been moved over to that trailer. You know, we did it all in the time of a drought, so it hasn't been used, thankfully, yet, but just in moving things around, it does seem much easier to load and unload, and I think that'll work out really well for us.
Chief, if I may, I'm going to have to excuse myself from the board to attend the city council meeting.
Okay. The new car 10, 1801, they actually called yesterday, and we took that out there this morning to have the lights and radio equipment installed in it. So I would imagine that'll take a week. The old car 12, or what it'll end up with is, you know, it has a inventory number of 1401. They did put the new lights on it. It is set up to be used as the water rescue truck. I have a dash in there because we haven't decided yet what we're going to call it, you know, radio-wise, but its inventory number will be 1401. The quarterly uniform order is in place. Shirts, pants, all that exciting stuff. Quite a few things under administration that you see listed there. The biggest things, the Aladtech tracking software for maintenance, especially. We're going to use it for some other things, but for tracking maintenance. That we're in a process of establishing the forms and so forth for that now. I met with Ed Barger, actually again just early this week, for the strategic planning process, and you'll see some things come out shortly for that, what we're working on there. I attended the July 17th Board of Aldermen meeting, and if you saw in the last week's paper, they did annex two fairly large tracts of land. There are going to be some residential and commercial growth, both. So that'll definitely affect us. I attended the quarterly emergency managers meeting for Clay County. Talked a lot about future things, and definitely some of those opportunities we'll probably start with sending the shift captains to. Again, they had a barbecue, graduation barbecue for the first session of the Children's Safety Academy. They set up the firefighter obstacle course that we have for the kids to run through and so forth, and it was a great event. We had four new volunteers start. That brings our total currently to nine volunteer firefighters. And again, they put in a minimum of 48 hours per month of in-station coverage time. August 4th was the first night of hot summer nights downtown. In my time, probably the biggest crowd I've ever seen there, probably due to Cassie Joy being there. And the weather was pretty decent once the sun went down. And we handed out just a little over 250 fire helmets. So there's a fair amount of kids down there as well. August 7th, the truck committee, Byron Watkins, Justin Hallman, Jason King, and I traveled to Camdenton to go through the what we call the pre-build conference for the new tanker. And that's basically where we go through the spec line by line, and you know, tweak a few things and make sure that we're all in agreement with how the truck's going to be built. I believe they talked about 3 to 4 months that we should have it. Am I right? Okay. The chassis is not in yet. Once they receive the chassis, I think they were a couple weeks from starting to work on the body, and I thought they said 3 months-ish, you know, 90 to 100 days, something like that, that we'll have it. August 8th through 11th, I went to the International Association of Fire Chiefs Conference in Dallas. I'll get you some additional information on that as well. On August 17th, we had a labor management meeting between myself and members of our labor union. Talked about a proposed revision to the uniform policy, timeline for negotiations, timeline for annual physicals to get that done this year. We talked a little bit about the procedure for vacation request, a proposal that we'll talk about later for a policy manual, and for to come to some terms on how we'll perform employee evaluations for this year. It was a great discussion. We have a follow-up meeting planned in September. And that's all I have, other than under the city of Smithville, I'd like to propose that we set a date for the liaison committee with the city of Smithville sometime in August. So I think, is that Brian and Bob?
Charlie and Brian.
So I'll get with you guys and see what, you know, what dates and so forth work for you, and then we'll get that out to them and see what we can work out. And that's all I have.
All right. Any questions? Thank you very much. All right. We do not have any public comment. We don't have any old business. New business. First is to consider the process for bidding of legal services. Our attorney, Joe Gagnon, is running for a judge's seat. So if he's elected, then he can no longer practice during his term as a judge. So we have to find a new attorney. I think he's done a pretty good job. So I hate to lose him. But so is this something that you came up with, or did Joe help?
A little both. This is not the entire document. Basically, what I wanted to get out was a draft of, you know, really I think the parameters will be the terms, you know, what you folks wanted in there. You know, if you wanted a two-year term, and then what you wanted, what's your direction would be on a renewal. You know, if you wanted to include in there that we would, and that would be the last line under the general information there, you know, an option for a renewal, and if you would want that to be for a 1 or 2 year. I do have, you know, the rest of the document. It got into several pages, and I didn't want to send it over to Joe yet for his input on the process until I had some direction from you guys how you wanted it.
Well, I know that the auditors, I don't think this part is confidential, but they had suggested that we check with, that we renew those every 3 years, mm-hmm. or that you at least give bids for, to make sure you're still getting a good deal.
Sure.
I'm still happy. So I would say if we do it for 2 years, that it would maybe just be renewable for one.
Just put an option, option for a 1 year renewal.
You don't want to be stuck in it.
Yeah. Too long. Okay. So I'll word that as the option of a 1 year renewal. And I can send the whole thing over to Joe and make sure it looks okay to him.
And then where is this published so that people know to
speaking,
send in their interest?
Sure. In speaking with Joe, we're not, under statute, we're not required any particular size paper to put it in. So we can use the Kansas City Star. We could also use the Liberty Tribune. The Liberty Tribune is obviously going to be cheaper. But that also, we can send it out to whoever we like.
Okay.
You know, the paper has this kind of a subscription service of who receives all those, you know, RFPs and bids and so forth out there. So there are companies that watch just that, you know, bids for professional services and so forth. We saw that with the tower project, with IT work, that kind of stuff, that we got bids from people just from those other services.
I was just concerned that maybe we wouldn't get enough response to it.
Yeah, I think we will. Well, I don't know that you have to. I can put it out to, you know, once we get it worked out, I can advertise the bids. Because all the bids would come to you guys, you know, for your evaluation and approval afterwards.
So I would say we probably need to send this to Joe to finalize all the legal jargon.
Yes.
And then the, when would we send it out? I see proposals that need to be in by October 1st.
Yeah, I just put numbers in there. You know, if Joe gets this back to us in a reasonable amount of time, you know, it needs to be advertised over 14 days. Yeah. So that'd be, you know, we could have this, you know, if they're turned in by October 1, then you guys, you know, we could look through them and you guys could evaluate it for the October 4 meeting.
Gives us that month.
Yeah.
Because the election, I mean, once he's elected, he's done. Yeah. I think it's working. All right. Thank you for putting that together.
Sure.
Consider the process for bidding of the new SCBAs.
Basically, again, it's just asking, you know, your approval that we're on the same page to go ahead and put our SCBA spec out for bid. You know, it will definitely be over a $10,000 purchase, so it'll need a 14-day advertisement as well. And, you know, we'll go through the same process, you know, evaluate those, evaluate the responses that we get back. It's a pretty small pool of SCBA providers, or I'm sorry, SCBA manufacturers. So then we'll come to you with a recommendation of who we'd like to buy from.
I was thinking we did this. It seemed like we had something that said it was going to be about $250,000.
We did.
Is that just an estimate of?
Yeah, when we were talking about capital improvement things.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we didn't have any actual bids?
No, we haven't.
That was just sort of.
Yeah, that's kind of speculative.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully it's high, but that's speculative. Yeah.
Apparatus is spelled wrong on this big old thing.
Oh my goodness.
Just if you want to correct that.
Yeah,
for reason.
Yeah, we'll correct that. Thank you.
All right.
Last week was a week of Mondays.
All right, and then last up on new business is to consider the proposal for the policy manual. I love this idea.
Yeah, so I've researched with this company, and the founders of this company, one's an attorney, one's a subject matter expert in the fire service. The attorney, his background is in risk management, and that's what Lexipol does. They're a risk management company. They do consulting work for not only emergency services area, or not only emergency services agencies, but other about any other industry you can imagine. One of the things they do is provide policy manuals for police and fire departments. Our police department here uses Lexipol, and I've been very happy with them. So what it's basically a subscription service. We would enter into a contract with them, and they provide a policy manual that is basically generic or boilerplate information. We would have to go through the each one of the policies and tweak it to our organization, because of course it, you know, it's for municipal fire departments, fire districts, much bigger than ours, you know, that kind of thing. So it's adaptable. You know, there's a lot of things that just wouldn't apply because that's not how a fire district operates. This would cover all of our administrative policies, human resources. It would get into emergency and non-emergency procedures, you know, guidelines and so forth. Everything that they provide, it's on a state-by-state basis. So this policy manual they put out meets all of the state state of Missouri regulations and also federal regulations that we involve, in addition to professional standards and industry best practices. So, you know, one of the classes that I just took was reference this system as well. And, you know, some of their questions were, you know, if you have a policy that says, you know, the word shall in it, and if it says that a lot, that really opens you up to a lot of liability if, you know, if there ever was an accident or an injury or something like that and somebody sued us. Because shall, you have an agent of the organization, an employee, you know, we have a policy that says you shall have done this. And if they didn't, that's liability on us because they're in violation of our own policy to begin with, you know. Another example they had was if you have policies on the books that, well, this is the policy, but this is how we actually do it. That's a huge window for liability things to come into play there. So in looking through our policies, we definitely have some holes in them. You know, again, brought up in the audit. I think this is a good alternative to get us up to speed. This will probably take 18 months to implement. You know, as you saw in one of these, you know, one of these is an example of a policy. Gives you an example of the index and so forth. And just looking through it, there's things that don't apply to us that we wouldn't adopt. But there's a lot of policies. You know, some things would be pretty simple. That we wouldn't have a whole lot of changes to, but there's some things as a small fire protection district that we would. So I think it would definitely benefit us. The other thing that comes along with this is employee training on the policies. So each time an employee logs into their computer, it pops up, and they're all situational based. You know, here's, it describes the situation, and then it follows up with a question of, well, what would you, you know, as a supervisor or as a firefighter, what would you do? And, you know, by your policy. So they'll end up taking a one or two question test on it, and then it gives some feedback. And the thing that helps with is, you know, especially if you think about a driving policy or a HIPAA protected information policy, that if we ever did have a claim against us, we'd come back and say, you know what, we got a rock solid policy. All of our members are trained on the policy, they've been tested on the policy, and you know, and here's what happened. So it really makes us much more defendable, you know, that way. An annual cost for it, in total, it'd be right at $6,000, which I think we can fund, well, I know we can fund out of our current legal line, because if we did it this year, we'd only be into it for about $2,000, you know, to get us up to speed and through the rest of the year here. And then it'd be about $6,000 going forward. You know, if we generated policies in-house, and, you know, whether it's something that I drafted, it goes through the labor management process, you know, we work out the details there, you know, our next step would be to send it off to legal. You know, we're going to burn through $6,000 pretty quick at the rate, you know, attorneys charge. So I think we're money ahead because, you know, they've already been vetted that way.
So these take the place of our SOGs?
What we would do...
Bob wouldn't have to do that
yes,
anymore.
Yes, yes. What we would do is, you know, start, you know, we definitely prioritize these, you know, what we need to address first. I would review them. We would meet in labor management with the union. We'd review them, work out the details, and then it would come to you folks for adoption, and then we would put in there that, you know, this policy number, you know, 17 rescinds policy number whatever that we might have had before. If you look through this list compared to what we currently have, I mean, I think on the books right now we have 47 SOGs. You know, I mean, there's like 135 or something like that here. So this is going to cover, you know, there's a lot of places, especially in the administrative and the HR areas as a small organization, that we have some huge gaping holes that this would be addressing. It'd be my recommendation that this is what we would do. If you guys have more questions about it or want to follow up, I'd be more than happy to provide you. We sat through some video conference and so forth about the system, how it works and how it'd be implemented and so forth. And like I said, Jason Lockridge, the police chief, they use it as well. And they said, yeah, it takes some time to implement because you still, you know, they don't give you a book. They give you a system that you can go through and add our numbers and add our factual things into it that make it our document, and then have to be adopted by the board of directors. So it does take a while. You know, our 30-45 minute meetings probably stretched a little bit longer reviewing them.
So we have to adopt 100 and however many of these one by one, right?
Well, yes, they would be, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, some of them might not have a whole lot of discussion on it, you know.
Right.
Some of them you might have more. But, you know, Chief Lockridge said it took them 14 or 18 months to get through the process.
And then what is this, the optional support here? Is that something that we are recommending we do?
No. Because what that does, if you were an organization that already had, you know, especially a city organization, already had extensive, you know, like a city policy manual plus a department manual and so forth, what they would do is take, you send them all of those documents, and they go through them and tell you what you ought to take out, what you ought to add in, each one, and kind of rebuild your document for you that meets all of the state, federal, best practices, NFPA, you know, all of those things. It's just manpower intensive. I think we're at a good point that we could, you know, kind of clear our slate as we go along, replacing new things, and we'll just, we'll take the good parts out of the old one and, you know, make sure that that's into what the new system is as it, is legal and ethical and meets national standards, and then with each one, then we'll take out the old as we put in the new. This has an app that goes along with it. There's a lot of nice things about it. You know, something you came up just today and kind of asked me a question. Like, hang on a second, I got to go look that up. You know, this is right on everybody's desktop. There's a link to it. You know, they can have it as an app on their phone, and it, you know, pulls up. You know, hey, you hit a parked car, what's the exact procedure that we need to follow, who to notify, and that kind of stuff. Now, knock on wood, nobody hit cars, but, you know, those kind of things. You know, we have a citizen complaint, again, another rarity, but somebody could pull up and be like, oh, this is the list that I need to follow. So I think it would be good for our organization.
It's only $2,000 for the rest of this year.
That's correct.
In 1994?
That's correct.
Anybody have any questions about it?
Is it your property? After you yes. Bring it up, is it your property?
Yes.
So if you chose at some point not to do the subscription, it would still be your property. It would just kind of
yes.
Cease.
And what the value in that is, I mean, yeah, you could go a couple years and say, yeah, you know what? We got this. We're good, you know? But the subscription, what it does is it keeps up the training. You know, and those records and so forth. But it also, they update these policies and give us updates as things, you know, as new legislation comes in, state or federal, courts, as case law develops, you know, like, hey, this happened in somewhere else in Missouri and you got the same policy, you know, we need to tighten this up kind of thing. So it does have that factor built into it as part of the subscription.
Yeah, that's important. I just didn't want to have to, if there were cost-cutting measures, or
sure.
You'd say, okay, we're not going to do this anymore, and then they'd say, here, would they?
Yeah, no, it is, once you adopt it,
even though we have photocopies.
Yeah, that's right, Yeah, it does become, it becomes our documents, yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's really good. That saves a lot of wear and tear going out on the websites and trying to read them and,
yeah, absolutely.
And rewrite each one of them.
Absolutely.
Like you said, it saves $175 an hour.
Yeah.
And then they have to be looked at after, even if we wrote them.
Yeah.
You have to look at it.
Yeah, you know, we take a policy that we like somewhere out of Washington State and write it, and, you know, it might not fit with Missouri law, or, you know, if that case is from 10 years ago, there's some case law that's changed the situation. You know, we still have to have it reviewed by somebody else, and yeah, that could add up quick.
Yes.
Any other questions? Then I will move that we accept the bid from Lexapolda at $19.94 for the rest of this year.
I'll second.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? All right. We are through the agenda, so the next meeting, proposed meeting, is Tuesday, September 25th at 7 p.m. I will move that we adjourn this meeting. Roll call vote. Bob?
Yes.
Brian? And I'm a yes. Thank you all very much.